Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We're talking about the state of Dublin and what you've experienced in recent weeks, because the Social Democrat TD Gary Gannon told Breakfast earlier this morning that there's been a deterioration in lawlessness and safety.
From Westmoreland Street onto O'Connell Bridge, right down into O'Connell Street, I walk through every day. What we saw is people in the throes of addiction, you know, people in the doorways of shops, really kind of in very vulnerable states. On O'Connell Bridge, I mean, I saw any number of young men in gangs, very clearly openly selling drugs, looking intimidating.
Yeah, so that's the Soc Dem TD, Gary Gannon. Rob Kenny is a PR director. Rob is with us on the programme today because you've had your own experience, Rob. What did you witness?
Yeah, one of your producers caught this on my Instagram yesterday. I was just walking to work. I was on the phone. And where was I? Bachelor's Walk. And two drug addicts, like, obviously your heart bleeds for them. I really don't want to portray that it doesn't. It does. Mm. But they were just, like, I remember the days where they at least used to try and hide it. Now, when I say they, and not everyone's the same, but it's definitely gotten so much worse. I basically saw a man and a woman, and he was helping her with the needle in her arm, like, to get it going, to get it working.
Yeah.
And I just got such a fright. I, like, jumped. I don't think I'd ever seen, like, the needle going in, like, that. But, you know, only in a movie or whatever. And I genuinely got such a fright.
Yeah.
But then I turned around and I saw a school group. We're right there. And it's just like, Jesus, where are we?
Broad daylight, Rob, was it?
Broad daylight, morning time. I felt really bad and I saw the school group. I was like, do I get involved? Do I tell the teacher? Like, but you know, you're kind of like panicking. You don't know what to do. Like, it just feels so open. It's not being hidden, but also it's everywhere. You look up and you look down in the city centre and you see it. It's everywhere. And then obviously it's the antisocial behaviour it leads to. Like, we all know when we're in the city centre, you know, the screaming, the, like, social norms go out the window, and it's just all making the city centre such an unpleasant place to be. And I hate saying that because I adore the city centre. I've always actively tried to live in or really close to the city centre. But it is becoming somewhere, because of the unbelievable drug problem, it's becoming somewhere you don't really want to be.
Has it got worse, Rob? Like, would you have noticed that over the years, or is it more prevalent now?
It's 100% gotten so much worse. I don't think there's any Dubliner listening who wouldn't agree to that. There's just so much more of it. Definitely, like Gary Gannon said, the intimidating gangs. Like, I'm a man. Now, I know I'm a gay man, so that comes with other issues. But, like, I'm a man and I feel really nervous walking around on my own. I can't imagine how women feel. Gary Gannon was so correct with that. The gangs, the openly selling drugs, but the drug addicts, and again, my heart bleeds for them, but it just feels so prevalent. It's everywhere.
And like that, just, it's nearly, I don't know if intimidation is the right word, but there's a sort of a kind of an eerie feeling that maybe comes with that at times as well, when you see that sort of the large, the cohorts, the groups, the gangs, I suppose, for want of a better word, in and around the city centre too.
The gangs bring so much intimidation because they're not scared of anyone, particularly if they're under 18. And I know that's a whole other conversation. But then, so they bring a whole other world of intimidation. But also the drug addicts, when you see them coming towards you, like, it's awful. And again, my heart bleeds for them. But I'd find myself crossing the street, like you equally want to get out of their way. So it's awful to see our city centre like that. Like, Lonely Planet, one of the most read, I'm sure you've discussed this already, travel media brands in the world, which I just asked ChatGPT there. The article would have been read by approximately 3 million, slating the north side of Dublin for evident drug usage, drinking, antisocial behaviour. Like, that's the city we're becoming. I know so many of my friends, particularly girlfriends, way prefer socialising in the suburbs now versus going into the city centre.
So they're just avoiding the city centre of our capital city. Stay with us, Rob, if you can, for a few moments. It's 087 1400 106 because Marie Byrne is with us. And Marie, you work in the area of drug prevention and recovery services. Like, when you listen to Rob and Gary Gannon with Jonathan a little earlier this morning, like, you know, it's the picture they paint of Dublin. It's bleak. And it's one of a lot of our listeners are getting in touch about, saying that they too have witnessed the same thing.
Yeah, and they will, and it will get worse. And I mean, I'm working, I hate to say it, probably 40 years and working internationally in places like Brazil and America. And I trained on prevention in America and so on. And we had a program that was sponsored by the Prime Minister in Australia one stage. And the whole thing is about the, it's the decrease in people having taken responsibility, I suppose, around their actions and being allowed to do so. And I broaden that out to even for, I see politicians who are supposed to give an example and they're making extremely difficult decisions and that. And some of them have openly said about their own use. And I've often said we really need to drug test people who are making decisions for this country as well. If they're not using it, it's not a problem. But I do think that sometimes decisions about decriminalising drugs and that can be pushed sometimes by people with an agenda anyway, or who have used and didn't have a problem or are using. And also the Gardaí, I don't think they have a problem with me saying that either. And we do need more Gardaí on the streets. But the solution does not lie with them enforcing the, you know, all the laws all over the country. It's about really what you see on the street, and that could be any place in Ireland at this stage, is a reflection of what's going on in the home, because Ireland's just made up of homes. So what's going on there? So you can understand then what it's like in a home where there are children and you have drug use. People are not in full control of their behaviour. Mm. Now, they are also sometimes coming from difficult situations themselves, but we have such a lack of services for taking people off drugs. We have so much millions put into people where they're maintained on drugs indefinitely. But they still can be using other drugs at the same time. And so it goes on. We don't actually intervene early like they used to do in Sweden. They intervened early. You found out if the children were using. Like I mean, years ago, I've heard, you know, I've met 11-year-olds who were currying drugs because, as your previous speaker said, that what do you do with underage? And there are very few services for underage in Ireland, and that's where you need to be intervening for prevention.
And will that change the image of O'Connell Street and some of the other streets that have been mentioned today? Would things be different if we had more drug prevention and recovery services?
Ireland has such potential. It saddens me to see it when I look at, even when I worked, I was over in the favelas in Brazil, and that, I mean, it saddens me to see that a country that is so much richness in its geography and people and so on, no matter what nationality, that we are actually at such a low that we have, you know, so many murders now, so many robberies. Would it change things? Yes, because it's like a home. If you allow behaviour to go on that's abusive, whether it's on the roads or in your home, it gets worse. There's nothing to stop it. And I've always said that. And I said it would increase, and it did. And it's like a Mad Max show then, because people lose the sort of moral sense of what's right or wrong in the middle of this. So if you have a lot of young people, and there are a lot of young people who feel under pressure also to use, because social media is a disaster for young people because they try to fit in so much, and there's so much drug use on show really through social media. And it's a thing that parents really need to monitor, even cell phones. It's not suitable for very young children. It really isn't, to use cell phones.
Yeah, I was listening. The new Lord Mayor of Dublin, Daryl Barron, was talking about, you know, that mammies and daddies need to know where their children are, you know, when he was talking about kind of calls for greater action on social, on antisocial behaviour and antisocial youths, I suppose, as well. You know, that the responsibility lies with the parents. Just to give you a flavour, Maria, some of the texts coming in today. This listener tells me, I'm an ex-drug addict. I moved out of Dublin about 10 years ago. I was in the city for the first time there at Christmas. It was the first time I was in Dublin City in years. And I can tell you, as an ex-addict, it has totally changed. This listener says, I was flying home on a flight the other night from the US. It was full of Americans, full of chat about their visit to Dublin and Ireland. And I was actually embarrassed thinking of what they were really going to see, because I think we have a kip of a capital city, says this texter. And another listener says, wasn't Helen McEntee as Justice Minister only a couple of years ago in Dublin talking about our capital city being a clean and safe city? I actually think it's a proper dump, says this listener. Hugh is with us on the line today. Hugh, what have you experienced in and around our capital city?
Whoever's on, Dublin is a great city, fabulous city. This problem is primarily the north inner city. And the inner city, like I was going up to Croke Park last Saturday for the hurling, and I walked up Moore Street, and they were openly dealing at the Lidl there at the junction of Parnell Street. And coming back, they were openly dealing on O'Connell Bridge. Last year, I saw two young ones smoke crack on the stairs of the Pro Cathedral, and there was numerous sort of people strung out asleep. One was asleep in the doorway there on Suffolk Street, and there was another fellow asleep on the doorway in Westmoreland Street, and he had one shoe on and one shoe off. And there was a couple of guards actually went up to him and said, "Are you okay?" And they sort of, you know, he was okay. He was out, but he was okay, you know.
So you think you think it's unfair to describe Dublin as a kid?
I don't think Dublin's got any worse or better over the last few years. It's always been rough in the north inner city, O'Connell Street around there. A lot of drug taking, a lot of...
But was it that open though? Was it that prevalent, Hugh?
It has come and gone over the years, yeah. It has come and gone, definitely. I think you've all the Roma gang begging. You have all the Somali gang.
Well, you've always had people of all nationalities. I mean,
the organised begging, the Roma are definitely at it. Somalis are now catching up.
I know. Well, look, you'd have people begging on the streets, regardless of all of that, and no crime involved in it. But you think it comes and goes in waves over the years?
Comes and goes, and you're not going to fix it. We have 14,500 guards. We have another 3,000 civilians and 500 working as like of 18,000. You know, more guard of time is not going to make any difference, really. The only solution, these two solutions to drugs in Ireland, either you come down like a ton of bricks or you legalise it. We're kind of in the middle, and that's why you have a huge problem. Either you go the El Salvador route and you lock them all up, or you actually legalise it. I'd be more in favour probably of legalising drugs and just take the problem out of the hands of gangs. And so people who are drug addicts wouldn't have to rob and steal and prostitute themselves. Just supply them with the heroin or whatever it is they want, give it them for nothing. Set up a load of clinics all over the place and just give it to them. That would probably solve a good bit of it, you know. But or you go the other route. At the moment, the guards, you know, they see what's going on. They're not going to get involved, fill out forms and God knows, have a fella in the station for a couple of hours, open the court the following day, get the probation act or get a short sentence in and out. Hopeless carry on. The guards, they do, unless there's violence involved, they'll just walk away, you know.
So, do you agree with that, Marie? Because you're someone working in the area of drug prevention.
I had to laugh here on my own. I actually thought he was a plant because I don't mean as in vegetable. I thought he was just stuck in there with the comments. No, absolutely not. Not at all. That doesn't work at all. But I agree with him on the point that I don't agree with the North Inner City thing. I think that day is long gone. You know, there's antisocial behaviour from people in very important and managerial positions, and there's bullying going on at work, there's bullying going on in the streets, and it's not all from, you know, that thing of inner city. Yes, it's more condensed, you know, some problems, but that boat has sailed a long time ago. A lot of very wealthy people are highly involved in drug use and really experiencing a high level of addiction. The difference with it is that they can very often access services quicker because they may have private insurance.
Well, they're not shooting up publicly in the streets, I suppose, is the difference, as Hugh and Rob have described.
Yeah, they're in it in bars and everything. I mean, look at people. They used to put Vaseline on the top of cisterns and toilets so that you can stop them putting white powder on it. I mean, they're doing it openly in bars now and, you know, coming out afterwards and you have your antisocial behaviour. Yeah. You also have them driving. But I will say one thing about it, that the thing about legalisation keeps coming around. I will agree with him that we are in the middle. We're always like that, people pleasing. Which should we do? If you don't say in a home what your guidelines are for your children and you try and get them for their health to be according to those guidelines, like it's an 18-kilometre speed limit, at least you know what you're supposed to be doing. That's maybe safer. Mm. if you don't do that with your children, they will do, you know, whatever. So if you say that it's legalized, all that does is it lowers the crime rates because they're now not disclosed.
Well, there's one
anymore,
thing for sure I can tell you. A lot of the texters feel today that...
I still think you should test some of the politicians.
Yeah.
Because some of them may need help because they're making a lot of decisions at the minute.
Okay. That, okay. No, you've, that's, you know. Look, that's, you've made that point. All right. Listener says, my daughter lives and works in Naples. And when I tell people about visiting her, I hear about how rough of a place Naples is or the fact it's so dangerous. I actually felt safer in Naples than in areas around Dublin. Education policing, as with the mad driving on our roads as well. There seems to be a lack of visible policing, says this texter. Rebecca's with us finally. Rebecca, what have you noticed in Dublin city centre? Well, not just in the city centre, actually, but what have you witnessed across Dublin?
So I've witnessed a lot of people are very antisocial and they don't really have boundaries. So literally yesterday I was in town with my friends and we went into KFC to get food. And these guys like come up to us and just start saying crazy things. And I'm just like, we are literally getting like chicken nuggets and chips in a shop in Dublin. And it's like, there's very little boundaries. And a lot of men, I'm not saying all men, will just come up to anyone on the streets, start talking to you. I don't know if it's like related to whatever, but I feel like because everyone uses social media and because, you know, the way when people are online, they feel like they can say anything, like text, whatever, to like anyone. I feel like that's crossing over into real life. So now people are more okay with just coming up to random people on the street, saying anything. Like I see this happen all the time. And then yesterday, again, when we were getting on a Dart to go to Dunleary or something, we just get on groups and groups of people and it's just like the whole carriage, you know, like vapes, the really strong smell of them. Mm. It's like full and the air is like thick and we could like feel it in our throat and it was making us dizzy. So we had to like go on to the different carriage. But it's like there's like older people on that carriage. There was like all sorts and it was like huge groups of guys and maybe girls as well, just like vaping and the whole air was thick with it. Like it was genuinely like we couldn't breathe properly, so we had to leave. So I feel like a lot of people aren't respectful to people who are around them and you can really see it. Like when you walk down the streets, it's just like you're seeing people who are on drugs doing stuff, like rolling around on the floor. Unfortunately, there's like loads of problems with like homelessness, which is really sad. Again, a lot of them and can be on that as well.
And as a young woman, Rebecca, do you feel safe in and around Dublin?
Oh my God, no. Like, it's really, really scary. And, like, it was just me and two other girls yesterday. And it's just, like, you don't feel safe. Like, I don't feel safe. They don't feel safe. Because, like, a lot of people, they seem angry. They seem negative. There's, like, a negative energy about the place. And then, again, you've no idea what people are going to do. Like, people will just come up to you, say anything, try and, like, speak to you, grab you. And it's just, like, people don't have boundaries or, like, any respect for people
anymore.
And
is it aggressive, Rebecca?
Well, yeah, like it's very intimidating if like taller guys are coming up to you and then you're like trying to be like stand your ground because you don't want to just like, you know, like be like a pushover. But it's just very intimidating for girls. And this happens to everyone that I know. And I'm just like, there's so lack of respect for people or like just like a kindness or something. Like, I don't understand why you would want to like intimidate someone else or like try and grab someone. I know people are addicted to drugs or whatever. It's like a different story. But I just feel like there's such a crossover because everyone's on their phones all the time on social media messaging. And you know, the way people like behind the screen, they can say anything. I genuinely believe that people are more like that.
They're more brazen.
Now,
they like, feel it can say it to your face as well. Trina O'Connor is a criminologist. Trina's with us here just finally as well, Rebecca. Have things actually got worse, Trina?
I think for many people, the lived experience is extremely uncomfortable whenever they go into the city centre. That's what people are reporting to me anyway. Even myself, I find it a little bit more challenging in parts of the city centre when you go in there because it's difficult to view the types of antisocial behaviour that we're seeing on the street, which I suppose, Andrea, are often written off as low-level nuisance, but actually they do need political attention because these kinds of low-level nuisance antisocial behaviours will escalate, and if they're not dealt with in a timely manner, then this kind of behaviour, when it goes unchecked, can often escalate in terms of maybe perpetrating violence against individuals.
And how do we deal with it?
The community. So, I mean, it's very complex, the issue, and it's driven by a mix of different psychological, social and environmental factors. So we need to look at what are the
factors that draw people towards antisocial behaviour and drug taking and criminal activity. So we need to look at all of the things like status, belonging and survival. But there's a lot of a shift in the demographics in Dublin, which has happened in a lot of major cities around the world. So we see a lot of development happening, a lot of construction, a lot of dereliction, and we see a lot of transient communities. So that connectedness piece very often is missing in a lot of major cities at the moment. And when people don't feel connected to the community, well, then they will act in an antisocial way. So community development needs to be at the heart of building community capacity, community cohesion. And we need to look at all of the kind of reasons why, in particular, young males are driven towards antisocial behaviour. Okay. So we need to look at their belonging, their identity, all of the...
Yeah, all of those different aspects of it. This texter here makes an interesting point. I don't agree with your caller who said Dublin goes through phases. Realistically, Dublin City, I feel it's been neglected and run down for years, and it's carrying the greatest burden of homelessness and addiction treatment services, says this listener. The email is lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. For the moment, we leave it there. That's Trina O'Connor, criminologist, Rob, Marie Byrne, Hugh and Rebecca. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.